moment here to encourage your people to, Lord, encourage us all to grow in victory and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, if you'd help us tonight, I'd be ever grateful. And if your presence and power would be made known tonight, God, I would give you the glory and the praise. And Father, I pray that you touch hearts tonight. God, I can't do that. I realize that. I'm just but man, God. I'm mortal. And so, Lord, we have to depend upon you, the supernatural, to deal with the hearts through your Holy Spirit and through your Word. God, would you do that tonight? Would you meet with us? And God, I pray that you'd impress upon our hearts what you'd have us to do. We love you, Lord, and ask that you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight, I want us to look at growing in grace. And 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, notice what he says, that you grow thereby. How many scriptures are in the Bible that are telling us to grow? And God never wants a child of God to be stagnant. And by the way, God always wants you in gear. If you're not in gear in the Christian life is not like this, is it? It's not like that, is it? The Christian life is like this. In order to mature as a Christian, it takes effort. It takes a want to. It takes drive. It takes God working in your life. And so if the Christian life is this way and you put it in neutral, guess which way you go? There's no sitting still in the Christian life. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. And I want to remind you, every day of your life, I preached to the College of Career thing Saturday night, and I was telling them, the Bible says pick up your cross daily, that daily you have to do that. It's a daily thing that we have to pick up our cross and carry it and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because every day is this. And one day that you say, well, I think I'm just going to coast today, is going to be the day that you go backwards. And I don't know about you, but I've done that. And I'm sure if you're saved here tonight, you would be truthful and say yes. But can I just encourage you tonight that if you're saved, God wants you to continue to conquer. And that's the first thing we'll talk about tonight. Number one, be a conqueror. Be a conqueror. If you want to grow in victory, you have to be a conqueror. We see that Joshua at this point, you can read chapter 12, it gives you 31 cities that Joshua had overcome through God's help and the children of Israel's help. And here we go. By the way, all the songs I was thinking of today, I was thinking, Onward Christian Soldier. Onward Christian Soldier. More about Jesus. More, that's forward. And higher ground, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. As a child of God, you have to be a conqueror. You have to conquer areas of your life that have not been dealt with in a long time. Somebody say amen. Lord, I give you this, but this part would you just leave alone? Huh? It's kind of like when you get married. All right, baby, all this is ours, but don't mess with that. It's usually a boat, a gun, or something, right? Right? We all have those things that we want to hoard and hold on to, but God says, hey, just what Brother Aaron just sung, I surrender some. Oh, wait, that's not how it goes, right? I surrender all. If you want to conquer, if you want victory in your life, you got to conquer things in your life. You got to let God have it and let Him deal with it, because if not, it will ruin your life. And here we see Joshua says that that God says to the Joshua, there it remaineth yet very much land to possess. Joshua's, let's say he's around 100 years old, and most think that he's around 100 at this time. I don't know about you, but most 100-year-olds say, what's done is done. Right? But listen, you're never done with the Lord. I had this very conversation last week with somebody. And they're like, you know, I just don't know how God can use me. And my thought to that is, well, with that attitude, He can't. See, I think sometimes, and I'm pointing all of my fingers back at me, and my toes, if they would, I'd point it back to me. But sometimes in life, we focus on all the things we can't do, and still the things we can do for the Lord. Don't we? We sound a lot like Moses, don't we? Lord comes to him, Moses, I want you to go to the children of Israel and be their deliverer. Me? Sound like Mel Tellis. You know? You talk about, some of y'all don't know who that is, but, you know? But, Lord, you can, and God said, I got the answer for you. It's called Aaron.
He says, now what else you got? I can use you if you would just allow me to. You got to be willing to conquer some things in your life. Listen, a lot of people have to conquer fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind. That's what God's done in our life. We are to conquer that fear. Don't allow that fear to hold you back from teaching a class, from sharing the gospel with somebody. Let God have that fear, and He'll listen to me. God will give you something in place of what is hindering your life. Somebody gave me this illustration. I've probably given it to you 100 times. I don't know if I preached 100 times, so maybe 99 times. But this illustration is so true. How do you get air out of a cup? Somebody asked us that one time in school. How do you get air out of a cup? I was like, I don't know. You fill it up. Listen, we're good about emptying our life out sometimes. But the problem is we don't fill it up with things that need to be filled up with, that it needs to be filled up with. You could come to this altar and give up whatever the habit is in your life, the hang-up in your life, but if you don't fill it with something, that habit and hang-up's just going to come back. You got to fill it with the Word of God. You got to fill it with prayer. You got to fill it with God. And if you don't, that void is not going to stay there long. Something's going to fill it. You ever met people that trade fat for fat? They try to get rid of fat. I'm using a silly illustration. Diet. It's like I'm going to give up 5-layer burritos. Right? I'm going to a grill stuffed burrito. Thanks, Pastor, for that one. Right? Now, that's a good trade out. Those 5-layer burritos, once you have the grill stuff, you'll be like, Taco Bell comes up on your list. You go from having that much meat to that much. But listen, some of us are that way in our Christian life. We got to conquer some areas in our life. God was telling an old stricken man who had conquered 31 cities. We're only talking about a 7-year span of time that God had used Joshua to conquer some land and conquer kings and conquer kingdoms. And here he was, and Joshua could have very well stood up and said, my race is run. I have finished my course. But he didn't. God said, Joshua, you are not done. There is still much land to possess. In other words, God has a plan for your life, and don't stop until it's done. Right? By the way, we say it all the time, the best is yet to come. In our life, if we don't quit, we must conquer areas in our life and allow God to have our whole entire life. Maybe you need God to... These are for me. All these are me. I label 4 things, and they're all things I deal with. Fear, right? I don't like talking to people. I have a genuine fear sometimes of just, I'm an introvert. You put me in a cave, I'm happy. I don't like people. I love people, but I really don't like them. You know, you ever get around somebody that's chatty? I'm not that guy. I'm the guy over there goes, I'm the one answer guy. Yes. That's why I have all these it sayings. Nail it, print it. I just like quick sayings. But you know what? God has to help me with that. When I'm in an elevator, and matter of fact, I was at Sonic the other day, and a lady come out there, and of course my children are kind of, you know, Dad, are you going to give her a tract? Well, yeah, I was just reaching for one. You know, where are they at? You know, and I did. I gave the girl a tract. And you know what? It was amazing how overcoming that fear, we got to conquer those areas of our life. Discouragement. Anybody here that, don't raise your hand, but anybody here faces discouragement? You face discouragement. Maybe you face anger and negativity. That's my middle name. Michael Negativity Wiggins. And I have to overcome those things. I have to let God have those things. And I have to allow God to work in my life as well as you have to let God work in your life. Let me give you number 2. Moving on. We got to be consistent. You know the problem with the children of Israel? You know what happens in mine and your life? You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to be consistent. I've never really noticed this until a couple years ago. I started studying the life of Joshua. And by the way, the life of Joshua is a life of consistency. Even before he was a leader, he was sent out as a spy. One of the 12 spies, him and Caleb, came back and said, we got this. The Lord can do it. And now we see him in a leadership position saying, we can do it. We can go forth. And he says that in Joshua 1:10. If you go back and read that, he talks about this is what God has for us to do. Let's enter into the land. He had that consistency in his life to do what was right. Think of Joseph. Joseph was consistent in all that he done. By the way, that God blesses consistency. Somebody asked me, what's the key to parity? I was like, I don't know. I'll let you know in about 20 years. But I can say this. I've heard this more than one time. Consistency. As a parent. Be the right parent consistently before your kids. You know what's wrong with Christianity today? We're not consistent. We're Christians on Sunday. We're not on Monday. On Tuesday, Wednesday, we're back with Christian face. Right? We're not consistent in our life. Are we consistent reading our Bibles? No. None of us are. Are we consistent praying? We have trouble in the area of consistency, don't we? I don't know about you, but I don't have a problem with consistency with eating. Anybody else? I don't have problems with consistency in drinking, right? Water. I preface that, okay? You know, my body gets thirsty, I drink. But listen, spiritually, we have to be consistent too. We have to be consistent reading our Bible and praying and be consistent when God calls us to do something that we follow it out and be consistent in it. I'm telling you, if we want to change the world, we must be consistent as Christians. And Pastor says it all the time, and it's so true, just be a plodder. Just keep plodding along. When hard times come, just keep plodding. When good times come, you keep plodding. When you're on the mountaintop, you just keep going. When you're in the valley, you keep going. And you be consistent in your life. Why? Because in the end, God blesses consistency. God blesses those who stay in His will. And those, by the way, when you're in God's will and you're in the promised land, the rest, listen, it's not going to be a marathon. I mean, a sprint race. It's going to be a slow marathon. Sometimes we shoot out of the gate pretty good, but toward the end of the race, guess what? We're on the sideline. We must be consistent in our life. The Bible says, Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promise. Without wavering. Hold fast at what you start with. Hey, don't waver from that. And listen, there's so many Christians today who are so wishy-washy. You know what we call them as staff? I wouldn't say it unless pastor's already told you from the pulpit. There's the AB team. You ever heard him say that? The AB crowd. ABC crowd. Right? The A crowd, you're here tonight. Hallelujah. The B crowd, they're... But the C crowd is the ones that are, you know, they're on and off and on and on. That's why we have visitation. It's because there's no consistency in Christianity, right? You know what it'd be like if everybody came to church every Sunday, every Wednesday night? We wouldn't have to spend time going visiting people. We could actually go look for new people. Or we could actually come by your house and say, thank you for being faithful. I love those visits. Don't you? Sometimes we just need to go by and visit people who are faithful. And bring them cookies. I live right behind the church if anybody wants to come see me. We don't bake cookies in that thing. It gets too hot. Right? You know what I love about people that I come in contact with? I'm going to pick on somebody now. I think of Brother Kane last year. I think of somebody who is consistent. I think of the Zellners in life. And I think of people that, even Brother Clark, I mean, I've known Brother Clark now for 20-something years. And just see people who have been in their place and going and doing what they're supposed to do. To me, I love those type of people. You ever watch those people just... Whoosh, they're like a balloon. You ever met those people? I want to be that person who just is consistent in life. And by the way, I'm not trying to please you. I'm not trying to please Amen. The crowd out there. I'm trying to please Him. Amen. And I love seeing people who are consistent. Brother Crawford is a great example of that. And I know I'm not buttering him up for a raise. He's already promised me that, so I don't need that. But Brother Crawford's been a consistent person in the ministry. I'm telling you, there's a lot of preachers who are not even consistent. There's a lot of church members. I want to be consistent. And by the way, I wish I could say I've been consistent, and I haven't been. I go up valleys, and I mean down valleys and up mountains. See, I'm so confused, I don't even know where I'm going. But I want to be consistent. I love preachers who stay consistent. They start off fundamental, and they end fundamental. You think about Paul the Apostle.
He was very consistent in his life, no matter if he was being beaten and shipwrecked, whether people were thronging him, whether he was in the streets of Jerusalem and preaching the gospel and people were getting saved. He was always consistent. Let me give you the last thing I'll be done tonight. Be confident. If you want to live the victorious life and you want to grow in victory, you got to be confident. You say, what? Be confident in the Lord. Here's a great scripture, you know it. It's Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. My confidence is not in me. Amen? Hello? Your confidence is not in you, right? Our confidence is in him who will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's going to be active in our life. He's going to be an active part of our life. That he's going to be working in us until the day of Jesus Christ. When Jesus calls us home, hey, then we're done with the race. But until then, we must be confident that God can in our life. I'm coaching the junior high football team. Brother Brandon's here. Brother Brandon knows what I'm talking about. Every day. I have become a therapist, Miss Linda. Because every day, Coach Wiggins, I just don't think I can go on. I have sympathy for these kids. About that much. And then the voice of my family comes in. Suck it up, buttercup. Get out there. Let's go. But some of these kids have never played football before, and I understand it. They're frightened. One kid come up to me, he said, I didn't know it was going to hurt so much. I said, what did you think it was going to be like? Do you not have TV in your house and watch football? But today, kid come up to me, and I ain't going to tell you a story because they don't go to church here, but kid got hit yesterday. And he was concerned about his arm being broke. So I did what any EMT would do. I took his arm, went like that. I said, that hurt. It's like a little bit. I was like, well, it's not broke. Right? Brother Brandon knows what I'm talking about. But I'm over there being kind and being gentle. I'm like, look, is it okay here? Is it all right? And then I said, you know what? I said, I think what you need is just some confidence. The more you play this game, the more confident you'll get in this game. And listen to me, as a Christian, the more you perform the duty as a Christian and you see God working in your life, the more you'll be confident in Him that He can do it. Amen. See, I have no confidence in myself. I have the lowest self-esteem as anybody. I've always been that way. I've never been good at anything, really. So I've always had low self-esteem. And I've always tried things. I'm like, ah. But you know what I found out in the Christian life is that all I have to do, I don't have to be good at things. All I have to do is be available for things. And God does the work through me. I can't stand up here and preach to you tonight and everybody go, man, God spoke to my heart and point the finger at me. I'm confident that He's doing the work. I'm confident in God. And if we want to live the victorious life, I love reading the story of Joshua. And I know I hadn't read a lot of scripture about Joshua tonight, and there's so much in there. But I was thinking about when Joshua told him, he said, we can go in. When he was a spy, he said, we can. And in Joshua chapter 1, he told him again, he said, we can. Why? But not because Joshua had a great army, not because Joshua was a great leader necessarily, but because Joshua had faith in God that he was going to do what he said he's going to do. And God had told Joshua a long time ago, he said, Joshua, I will be with you just like I was with Moses. And Joshua, I'll go before you and I'll fight for you. Listen, God has given you that promise as a child of God that He would fight for you and that He would fight with you and that He would give you the victory. All you have to do is just cling to Him and say, I don't have confidence in myself. I got confidence in God. The moment you say, I got this, is the moment you hit that wall. You see, what happens to us when we have a lack of confidence really is a lack of faith. Let me ask you this tonight. If God was to give you a sheet of paper that had your progress report on there, what would it read? Every quarter we get a progress report on Bailey. We love those. We read them and they're like, Bailey pulled her chair out today. We're like, hallelujah. That's progress. It's slow progress. She's 16 years old and just pulled her chair out. One day we were going into somewhere and Bailey reached up there and pushed the door and opened it. Me and Donnie was like, wow. We got her progress report and it read, Bailey now opening doors. That's progress. Bailey now gets into the vehicle by herself. That's progress. It may not seem like progress to y'all. I've been with the girl 16 years. That's great progress. And every year, we don't, you know, she's not going from A to Z, but she's going A, B, and one day we're going to get to C. But it's going to take patience. Listen, as a child of God, if, by the way, the progress report means progress. If God was to send me a paper now and said, Michael, here's your progress report, how would it read tonight? I've been saved since I was 16 years old. I am now 40. You figure that one out. That's a long time. I should have made progress. But the scary thing about Christianity is a lot of people are still at the starting point. And they've never moved. Because they haven't figured out how big God is. And realize that you can overcome fear. You've got to conquer that fear. I believe this with all my heart. I believe you take one step, God meets you. Doesn't He all the time? God wants to see the activation of our faith, right? He wants to see us step out there just like Peter when he stepped out of the boat. Peter activated the very faith inside of him in his God and in his Savior. And Jesus Christ came to him and lifted him up. Now, I know our faith wavers and things like that, but God's going to be there. And God wants to see us actively serve Him. We've got to be consistent in this Christian life. We got to carry through with what God has for our life. He which have begun the very thing in your life, guess what? He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you can be confident in Him. Don't be confident in yourself. You'll fail every time. Be confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I promise you, He will see you through. Let's stand tonight. I'll pray and then Pastor, you come. Father, we love you. Thank you that we can live in victory. Father, I pray that you would help us see the life of Joshua. How, God, he was a conqueror. He was consistent. And Father, he had confidence in you and what you could do. And because of that confidence, Lord, it caused him to move forward in his life through faith. Father, tonight I just pray you'd help us all to be conquerors. Help us all to be consistent. Help us all to be confident in you and what you can do and your ability and your power. Lord, tonight without you we can do nothing. So God, I pray you'd help us now. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 155.